on TV. So what I finally decided was, art is simply inevitable. It was on the wall of a cave in France 30,000 years ago. And it's because we are a species that's driven by narrative. And art is storytelling. We need to tell stories. We need to tell stories to pass along ideas and information and to try and make sense out of all this chaos.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
I don't like this.
Why don't you like this, Damian? Right.
Because you were the one that murdered it in the first place.
I didn't murder it. I stabbed it a few times. It was bleeding out. And you were a good enough person to resuscitate
to
it
the depths of Hades
while it was under the ICU.
And fight him in order to save this podcast. And now it has been commandeered from me.
Right.
You don't get, that's not okay though. It's just because you have all the equipment. I can't kick you off the podcast. What's up, bro? Never will the name Soderbergh be mentioned on this podcast.
That would be your win. That would be your win. Mm-hmm. Now, whenever I mention Soderbergh,
that's what's been taking me so long. Editing.
Every time I mention Soderbergh, you cut out.
Although the last 6 podcasts.
Anyways, this week, I wanted us to talk about this new documentary. It is called The Wolfpack. It is about a family of 7 children who are all throughout their childhood homeschooled and kept in home in to some effect.
Is this dog too? This word is said.
That's actually what Douglas said when he read the synopsis. And then 10 minutes into the movie, he stopped. And he's like, is this a documentary? Is this a... This can't be a real story. When I read that synopsis, this don't make any sense.
Well, no, not even. It wasn't really that. Because, to be honest with you, when I read the synopsis, I thought it was a fictional movie.
Right.
And as the movie went on, you know, it was in documentary format, but right. I was like, you know what, it's still,
that's cute,
yeah, exactly,
that they've
right?
done this.
But then after a while, it didn't seem
right,
like they were approaching it like it wasn't a real thing. Right. So I had to stop and be like, Andrew, hold on, did I get my wires crossed? Right. And is this actually a real true to life documentary? And
is this,
he informed me that
this is a true story. Is it a true fixed?
So yeah, this is a story about this family who are kept indoors for most of their life, and their ticket outside is
what the hell happened?
He blew his brains out.
There's no entry room.
It's clearly
That's disturbing. You're a monster.
look, I saw that Seth MacFarlane movie. I saw
and got very upset.
And I got upset. Let me try this one more time.
Teddy did nothing to you. Nothing.
Let me try this one more time. This movie is about this family who have been trapped in their home for most of their childhood, and their only view of the outside world was through movies. Their father brought movies into the house, and they became so obsessed and so just generally
enamored.
Yeah, I guess enamored by movie worlds, that they got to the point of handwriting out scripts of movies, reenacting them amongst themselves, and just basic tomfoolery until, and then we get to follow them along as you see their progression from this life indoors to a more outgoing life, if you can call it that. Douglas, I typically fear every time that I force upon us a documentary for that you will come here and say a line that you were well quoted for last night on Twitter. And I feel that this movie is no different than most of those others, where you will sit there and you'll go, why do I need to care? And I want to just do my best to get you out of the way before everything else happens, because at this point I'm just going to put on my headphones and let you talk for a while.
Oh, you did. See, this is the reason I didn't want to give him back control.
So Douglas, here, have your 5 minutes.
First off, Andrew, I want to protest. I want to object to a point that you made earlier.
Right.
These boys' tomfoolery is nowhere near basic. They go into some next level tomfoolery.
That's some next gen.
Right?
Uber level ultra tomfoolery.
Yeah. So as we said before, I read the synopsis to this movie maybe a day or so before we actually watched it. And the first thing that came to mind is, oh, it's like Dogtooth. And then
you cringe for a second.
Yes, I did.
Wipe the tear out of your eye. Wipe the hatred off your face.
And I suppose the story or the premise itself is so outlandish that I couldn't even... The concept that this could be true, that this could be a documentary, just didn't even cross my mind. So I assumed it was a work of fiction.
Big story.
After about 10 minutes, I realized, wait, I think that might not be the case. The movie itself started off pretty well. It's a compelling enough thesis, in a sense. You know, it has a premise where you want to see what happens. You want to see how exactly did they get to this point and what's going to change or what's going to be the end result. Because, again, in the synopsis, it already told me that. And the way they put it was one of the children escaped and then, and then something... like fundamentally changes, right? And I think the first half of this movie is great in presenting what is, right? What these guys' lives are inside this box. Because I don't know if you've said it, but this documentary is about a family that are essentially confined to their apartment and never go outside. One of the children spoke.
Dangerous out
there. Exactly, it is dangerous out there. One of the children spoke to going outside anywhere between 1 and 9 times per year.
Seems like a safe number.
Definitely exactly. Not in the winter.
Yeah, definitely not in the winter.
Sounds like Damien.
Yeah. And they live in New York. They live in the city in Manhattan. or I think they do. And so
the Upper East Side.
You know, and they, I think that this movie could have been great, but it failed on a number of levels. So the first half of the movie was a good watch. You got to understand the parameters, so to speak. And when they got into now the second half of the movie, where it's time to kind of transcend these parameters, it's time to move along the story or the narrative, it failed utterly in my mind because a number of things. And it has to do with the logic of the dynamic. So there is a child, one of the children left at one point when he was 15. I don't know if he is the eldest, but for some reason when he spoke and when he was a part of the interviews, I just decided he was the eldest. He may not be. He left the apartment one day wearing a mask and got arrested and had to be in the hospital for a little while and then came back home. And apparently ever since, he's never spoken to his father or something along those lines. I feel that that's about all I know about that. That's about all anybody who watches this movie knows about that story. And I feel like there's so much more there. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more to a lot of this movie, right? So, you know, they speak to him being in a hospital and being around suicidal children and, you know, children with maybe more disorders or whatever. And the first question is, so, okay, first of all, anybody who is raised in this situation probably, you know, or could easily develop some sort of issues.
Sure.
Is that what happened here? I don't know. Nobody, you know, they never went down that rabbit hole. There is a point in this movie where the children just start to leave. And how does that happen? Because, so you've developed this narrative where you have this overbearing paternal figure who has locked both his wife and his children in an apartment for years. I'm not talking about days. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, you know, a couple of years. We're talking about like 15 to 20 years. This man has said, no, you're not allowed to go outside over my dead body. And if you do, bad things are going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. They just up and walk out one day. And there are no repercussions to that. There's no struggle or arguments or anything. It's just, oh, we're gonna go off.
Well, it's very much like that episode of Rick and Morty. They can leave. They just make it look like it can't leave. Right. He just didn't think it was an option.
And then
going to descend into Rick and Morty.
You know, I mean, so, and I am pretty sure there was something, right? There had to have been, and maybe what
some
happened
kind of trigger.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe what happened was not. Yeah, so we don't even know really the trigger, other than, well, of course, you know, they're going to eventually get curious, or, you know, finally, they're going to say, you know what, I can't deal with this man and his nature.
That door does have a key.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, you know, they don't explore the triggers. They don't explore the situation. They don't explore the outcome, really. Just that, oh, look, everybody's outside now and we're happy. And, you know, you don't go from inside and not necessarily unhappy, because they didn't even explore that really. They didn't They didn't show necessarily the negative side of being locked up for 15 to 20 years. They were just like, this is what we do and whatever, to being outside and happy. And that just, you know, it felt like a wasted opportunity. Then another thing that I didn't really like about this movie, but this is granted, really, I guess, character flaws more than anything. There was a portion of the movie where they dedicated a little bit of time to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, throughout the movie, they were talking about how, you know, the father, he wanted to kind of create his own tribe. He wanted to make sure that, you know, they don't have too many influences from the outside world because it's scary out there, right? They dedicate a little bit of the time to the mother, and she kind of implies a few things. She says things like, you know, oh, trust me, there were way more rules for me than there were for the children. That never gets explored. She says things like, you know, I always wanted my children to grow up like I did, in fields with farms and trees and wildlife, and and they didn't get that, and she starts to bawl, and she starts to get extremely emotional about that, as if there was something stopping her from doing that. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what stopped her from doing that, because it, according to this movie, they, she could have just walked out the door, mm-hmm. right? And maybe she, as she said, there were whole heap of rules, and I imagine that there's some sort of, there had to have been some sort of, abuse might not be the best word, mm-hmm. but this man putting his foot down and mm-hmm. imposing what he has decided is the law, in a physical or in a not cool kind of way, right? So I imagine it wasn't as simple as, I wish my children went outside and I just decided not to allow them to do so. But the way, again, it's all about the way this movie is presented.
You have the only key, though. I think what you're looking for is just, it's one of those, I think it's a limitation of this movie in a sense. And it's not a limitation of what they decided to show, but what they were able to capture. Because one of the things that I kind of got a cue to watching this movie was, there was a small moment, I think they were making dinner
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and they're like talking to the filmmaker at that point. Her name is Crystal Mosel. And they talk directly to her, and they're like, look, you're the first guest we've had over
mm-hmm.
at this point. And some things like that that you've pointed to, the things like caring about the mother mentioned, like the things she wanted for her children and seeing her break down. Like, those are the small moments where I wonder how much of it was that she found a story of these children, then she found even more, but then started to see limitations of what she was able to capture. Because she talks to the mother for 5 minutes, and then the mother maybe said, no, I can't do any more of this. Right, I can't tell you my story. Right, you can talk to children because you're their friend.
Yeah.
Right. No, and that's why you get most of the children's point of view.
I feel like that is absolutely going on there. Right. You mm-hmm. you barely see the father. You kind of see the mother, and I think that's intentional. I think
there's
like,
a reason why most of the times you see them, it's through some old video.
Exactly.
That they've gotten to hijack and edit in.
But. That's not an excuse for presenting me with one quarter of a movie. Right?
I agree with you to some extent, but this is the way I view it, right? And maybe it's because of the context of the movie why I decided to view it this way. Because first of all, Crystal Mosel, who I've never heard of before, right? This isn't Werner Herzog or Errol Morris, the famed documentary directors. Who we expect certain things from, right? And I'm like giving you...
Those are the two names.
Yes, those are the names. Those are the first pretty names. Good. Those are the first names I think of. The thing about it is that even when this movie is over, right? And you see, at the end of it, you see the eldest son, who you call the eldest son.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I know.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, they told us our names at the end of the movie. They're crazy names and I can't remember.
I remember
Krishna the girl is Vishnu. Girl.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right.
Vishnu is the girl. That's all I remember.
But there is Krishna. There is... I don't know the rest of them.
Right.
Keep going.
when you see the end of this movie and you see the guy got to make his first movie of his own... Right, uh-huh. A movie that he wrote up about this thing with the window, and it's kind of amazing looking at them make that movie, because we kind of got a glimpse of the movie, but mm-hmm. we just saw like bits of them making it,
mm-hmm.
right? You kind of look at it and you're like, that looks like a first time movie where there are things that they don't quite know what they're doing, but at the same time you applaud them. You're like, yeah, that kind of worked out, and I felt something about that kind of just transposed into how I felt about Crystal's documentary, where I'm like, I see where you're going and I see where there are little bits that I'd ask a few questions about and see what we could do about them. But and I don't expect you to put in the front, I tried to talk to the father and he told me to jump off a cliff.
Yeah, but you see, what my problem is that, and what you... just said would have been an okay movie if there were little bits that were left to the imagination or that I didn't fully understand.
It is her first
but
movie.
It wasn't little bits, it was the whole thing, right? I can honestly, I can live with not knowing how they got to that point. That's fine, right? Mm-hmm. It would be nice, but fine. We are now in jail, and this is how we live in jail. Cool, right? Work. But then you, there is a transition from jail to give us free, right? And that transition, nothing about that transition is explored.
I like this podcast.
Right? Absolutely nothing. It's just, oh, they walked out one day, mm-hmm. and everybody's hugging each other. And you know,
and I get you, mm-hmm. and I agree with you to some mm-hmm. extent. Mm-hmm. Actually, I agree with you fully.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I am very interested in that conversation as to how that really happened. And
don't
what,
back down, Andrew. Right? Don't back down.
But what the only thing that I... As to why, like, I won't take this movie to come...
Stop playing with that.
I won't take this movie to task about that is that one of the things that I found interesting wasn't finding out about that one and his decision to go out. But it was when he saw them talking to the other children and they were like, yeah, he did that. And we were freaked out. And then the next day he's like, you guys should come with me. And we're like, can we do that? And he's like, I don't know. And they were freaked out. And they literally let him be the one to go outside. it's one of those movies. But Damien, you've been very quiet.
Yes.
Throughout all of this.
Uh-huh.
You've been enjoying Douglas try to work out his issues.
Yes.
As it relates to this movie.
I've kind of enjoyed you backing down from Douglas's point. Like you're afraid to turn to Douglas and say that he's lost his goddamn mind. Douglas, I understand what you wanted out of this documentary. The second you realized it was a documentary, you said, oh, they need to tell me something. There's a situation here. I need an explanation. And that is fine. I didn't watch it for any of that. I wanted to be entertained. Which is what I saw when this movie started. The situation is so crazy that this is the last thing I'd have expected to come out of the situation. And just watching these children use the movies, because I've never thought about doing anything even remotely close to what they've done. And I've had all the freedom in the world. And these guys didn't. Like, it was duct tape and them sewing shit together. And they made... Awesome movie.
They made a Batman outfit.
They made some of the craziest shit I've ever seen. Right? When I started watching, I'm like, that is what you do if you had all the time in the world. You could sit down and use foil paper and make real guns. And you could, you know, take cardboard and you could do all this shit. And I'm like, that is... Like, it's incredible that this is the thing that they decided we're all going to do. And by the time the movie got to the end where they decided, oh, I can just walk out of this place. I was like, no, I don't want you guys to leave. Because when you leave, what I want essentially is every year they go back and show me their latest movie. That's what I want. I know it's not going to happen because... Child services is probably going to have a figure to say about this. And having stayed in one place for all of your life, but have a window. Like if you had boarded up the windows, I'd have gone, alright, this man is a megalomaniac. But he's allowing them to see people outside, which is not okay. Because at a certain point, you're going to go, alright, dog. Like, if we fought, I'm 15, I'd probably murder you. it's not going to work. And so they started leaving. I'm like, ah, god damn it. But anything they do, I want to see the movie that he made. I don't care how I get it. Right? I want to see everything these crazy... Because they should be lunatics. Like, as far as I'm concerned, right? When you hear stories like this, the children cut them out and they're really maladjusted. Right? But through movies and... Because there were so many of them, and I guess they had to, while they didn't interact with the outside world, there were enough of them, and they had to work together on these massive projects. They felt like normal children, just children that did the thing that I would never have considered doing, right? Think about how, like, how awesome would it have been when you were 14, 15, and you could turn to your friends and go, let's make a Batman movie, right? They didn't say, that's the dumbest thing you've ever. They just said, all right, we have cardboard, we have tape and cloth, let's go. And they did it. And it looks awesome. They wrote down the lines, like all of it. It was so entertaining watching these people just be. And that is what I enjoy. That's all I wanted out of this documentary. I know there's real world factors, which is what you wanted to see. What led to it.
No, I didn't need to see what led to it, you know. And can I
you just wanted some explanation as to how the entire thing.
The start and the stop was the first act where it was they start and they're like, here we are in prison. Right. And they end and they're like, goodbye.
We made movies.
You're still in prison.
Yeah, we made movies.
That movie would make sense and I'd be fine with it. But
the movie asked a lot of questions.
Transition and it didn't need, but the movie didn't ask questions. The movie just showed these answers and we're like, whoa, I think there's some questions here that are missing.
You don't seem to realize.
It was so cool to see these people do this thing. And by the end of it, they all left. But that's okay. Like, I didn't need anything more. I just needed to see this thing happen. Because it's a thing, if someone came to me before seeing this and said, you know, there's some lunatic that had his children up there for 15 years, and they are going to come out and be messed up. And then they handed me a DVD. And these are them. And turn it on, it was their Pulp Fiction remake. I'd lock everybody up. Nope, you never leave it. You're staying here and making this forever.
I want you guys to
keep clipping your movies under the door. And next year, I want you to make me your version. So good.
I want you guys to realize how frightened I was with this movie. Because the truth of the matter is, what Damon loves about this movie is what got me to pick this movie. Because that's what I knew about the movie. Yeah. I knew about the movie part of it.
Yeah.
Where there were these crazy children and they were making movies. Mm-hmm. I had no clue about the family situation stuff. Where when the movie started, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I've just seen the real world that these guys live in, and I am frightened for them and everything about this world.
So I'd heard about this on this thing called the news. I'd heard about the situation. I heard how many awards the movie won, and the whole they were locked up and whatever. And I was waiting essentially to see this movie, and it was until Andrew said, "Hey, let's watch it," I realized that it was available. So I didn't go in not knowing things, like I kind of knew all, and all I wanted, I guess. So maybe it's unfair for how I saw the movie because I knew going in some of what happened. All I wanted to see was these children, like, doing it. I just wanted to see, not really how, but kind of how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, this is so amazing that this could be done because it's not the, like, the last movie that was kind of like this, there was the guy who he and his friends were remaking. I think it was Raiders of the Lost
Ark. I heard about that one.
Right.
And they
stopped being friends. And then years and years later, someone found like the unfinished version of these children making a shot-for-shot remake of it. And they're like, guys, you guys have to finish this because this is incredible. You two are lunatics, and I have to see the end of this. And when I watched that, it didn't give me the same joy that I got watching this, because they grew up, and so there were grown people problems in the movie, right? Because they stopped being friends and all sorts of the other things that, as an adult, right, you have to be practical about certain things. And that kind of ruined it for me. Plus, the movie that they were remaking, I don't have all that love for. But you can throw anything you want at me.
Hold on, wait. But we're talking about Indiana Jones 1, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right?
I didn't say I don't love the movies, right? I like Indiana Jones fine. But they've never been the jump up and down. Oh my God! If I see these movies on TV, I have to stop and watch them. There weren't those movies. So
I'll figure out how to get past this problem right now, so we can move on.
Right, just ignore everything I said.
Mm.
But watching these children in this situation be friggin' happy and do this thing, right? Just put a smile on my face the entire time, and that's all I wanted. But Douglas wanted more.
he was like me, looking at the real world thing.
He wanted answers.
Yeah, this movie. I mean, I couldn't
let it go.
I couldn't, and things like finding empathy for the wife, I couldn't do it because they didn't develop her enough for me to get there.
Just think back to Dog Tooth and insert those parents in.
So how did you feel when you got to see the scene where they actually went away to some farm, some orchard?
I felt absolutely nothing. No, I'm... Because,
I know, I get right, you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
It was a planned trip by their father. The father, you know...
Was it the father? No,
the father took them on trips, like couple scheduled trips.
Yeah, but no, that didn't sound like something that the father had scheduled. That sounded just like...
Oh, sorry, I was... So, maybe I'm bringing in outside information.
You are totally bringing in outside information.
Oh, was it something scheduled by his father?
But he did take them out from time to time, right? Yeah. So I'm just assuming, I'm just piecing that together.
But
it's probably
him. So here's another problem. The fact that all three of us can have three different versions of how that thing happened,
mm-hmm.
because it's never spoken to, right?
That's not even terrible. But
okay, so, there's so much that could have been developed in this movie. There's so much that could be explored in this movie that would have been like made it the greatest movie ever, and it just wasn't that.
So we've kind of said our piece about this movie. So it's time for me to ask the dumb question.
Yes.
That no one really cares about, but mm-hmm. I'm going to ask it anyways. Especially for Damien, the way he responded to this movie. Which movie would you give them to work for you, to give you their next movie that you'd get a video of? What movie would you give them?
It need to be some practicals because they don't have CG budgets. Although having them do
CG movies,
right? Having them do like Pacific Rim would have been interesting. But the movie I want to see them do more than every other movie is I Saw the Devil.
Damien,
I want to see them make that.
Damien, you and I are clearly cut from the same cloth, because the first thing that popped into my head was, I said to myself, well, it has to be a Lars movie.
Uh-huh. But Lars movie don't have that many people in them. That's the problem.
No, yeah, that's
like
true.
He keeps them. There was a one types. Wedding scene, but most of the time it's very few people.
Mm-hmm.
I want but Alien.
I saw the devil have enough people and enough sets and moving parts. And I want to see these children. Because they did Pulp Fiction and they did Reservoir Dogs. So I know they'll put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see them make that movie. Because I'm a terrible person. I'd lock them up to get it done. Sometimes you have to do bad things to get art. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
I think Lars said
scaffolding
that.
Or something. Yeah.
Right between, you know, between Nazis being good and I'm pretty sure Lars said that.
I'm fairly certain. He's a mutt.
He is a crazy person.
I love him so much. When is his next movie coming up? Andrew, help.
Not happening.
Help.
He's Google. Not allowed to make any more movies.
Google Lars von Trier. Help me. See? I'd ask Cortana, but she's stupid. Who is just his goalkeeper?
Peter Bogdanovich.
A TV series is the next thing in IMDb for him.
Oh, yeah?
Called The House That Jack Built.
All right, I'll...
In 2016.
Oh, shit. When it's gonna just... Okay. Yes.
Is it Netflix?
Yes.
I don't know.
Netflix. Don't care.
Can I tell you? I've gotten to this stage where every TV show needs to be Netflix.
Yes.
Now. It just...
I wonder why.
Why would
so
I watch
you can
it
watch all of them all at once.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting.
Yeah.
I remember...
And then you won't have any ads.
I remember somebody saying that years and years ago. People looking at me. No, they man. I can't wait. I have to watch them every week. And no, you don't. Just
No. But what does he still do? He watches them every week.
And then... Do you?
Me?
Do you watch one episode a week?
If I have
for some
to.
TV shows?
If I have to, yeah.
Why?
Because it's not about not wanting to watch them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's about not wanting to watch them months after they're done. I want to watch them as soon as they're available.
No, but then wait until the final episode.
Again, the final episode would not be as soon as they're available.
Yeah, but
that's
then you could watch all
works.
Of them together.
I realize this, but that would require...
And then
that would
be
require
done when everyone else
wait,
is done.
That would require waiting and patience.
But you're going to wait.
Which I do not have.
But you're waiting now.
No,
you
because
have
I have
patient.
To wait. I don't have to wait for this week's episode.
But you can push it. Just listen. Just focus. Just kick
Damien,
the episode
Damien,
down the road.
Damien. You feel that? You feel that sense of inability
uh-huh.
to win the argument?
I can beat him. Because at some point, logic will get through.
Are you sure?
No. But I have to believe. He
is
seems like
is
a logical
person. Is that what they
told
you in school? If you believe, it will come true?
No, they actually told me to get out. That's what they told me in school.
You're a waste of tax dollars.
Didn't R. Kelly tell you if you believe that you could fly?
So at a certain point, you guys, at the start of the movie, I think Andrew was describing it as these children were locked up. And the first joke I went to was, by R. Kelly. Yeah, classic. Because I'm an it. And I got rid of that joke, but then he said R. Kelly.
Yeah.
I had to tell you how my stupid brain works.
Makes sense.
I have not given any real reason why people should love this movie. And I'm not going to. Don't worry about that. If the premise of seven children being locked up and remaking Reservoir Dogs doesn't fill you with excitement, then stop watching movies. It's not for you. This is not the medium for you. Stick to reggaeton or whatever it is. I don't know what you monsters listen to now. Dubstep. Some nonsense. But if you watch movies and have eyes and like movies, you need to watch this. Sure, you might fall on Douglas's side, which is the wrong side. The wrong side. Hashtag the wrong side. But there's a 99% chance you'll end up with me and Andrew and enjoy just watching this. This should be... How many wonders of the world are we at now? I know the Google car was like 9.
Okay, so... Going back to an mm-hmm. earlier question about what movie they need to make,
mm-hmm.
I would like them over a span of, I'll give them 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Time, right? They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, they have to
the Harry Potter series.
I'm going in that direction, but no. we need 7 roles.
Mm-hmm.
At least 7 roles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think that The Hobbit
you need a
and
ring,
The Lord of
right.
the Rings over a 6 year
I mean,
period?
They had The Lord of the Rings movies in their home.
Yes, they did.
They had
so,
it in their list.
So they've
I'm
already
sure,
done their research.
Yeah, I'm sure if we were able to, say, round them up and lock them up somewhere and feed them for long enough, we'd get a Lord of the Rings out of it. All right. Vladimir Putin, I don't ask you for a lot of things, but I know you have the resources to get this done. Could you?
Please? Pretty please.
He's not going to hear this, right? Like, they don't have the internet in Russia. It's like a different
thing. Well, I think Putin gets the internet.
I don't think
so. I know the regular person in Russia doesn't.
No. Straight people get the internet.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
But they're still on.
Can you get the internet in prison?
They're not joking.
No,
oh my
not.
God. They're still no mas. No bueno.
Yeah.
If you're going to love man, you're going to have to find somewhere else. Switch. 2015, guys. I think it's time we cut the shit. No one cares.
Okay. Apparently Putin does.
He cares about a lot of things.
Wait, didn't you watch Netflix? He does care. His nephew is gay, but he has to look manly, you know, for the rest of the country. It was so weird how that guy was clearly Putin.
What documentary do people talk
about? Fuck are you doing? Anything else you guys want to talk about this week?
Restrepo 2.
Someone got 72 points?
Yes.
Fuck. All right, now. Stop.
Douglas. Anything else you guys want to talk about this week?
I don't know.
I saw movies.
Have you seen Fantastic Four, Damon?
No, everyone keeps saying that movie sucks.
Mm.
Is it good?
No. I liked it.
That's not a review. Is the movie good? Let me start again. Andrew Robbins, is the movie good?
I liked it. Good stuff. It's
something very sharp. People, like, even the director came out and said that someone fucked with the movie, his movies.
He said that he had a good version a year ago. But it's gone now. Just like the tweet where he said that.
Oh, he deleted that tweet?
Yes, super quick.
I think someone deleted that tweet. Like, yeah.
I saw the tweet. Well, I didn't actually see the tweet itself, but I saw
screenshots. I saw screenshots.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's
for
not...
For him to say that.
Yeah, that's not okay.
People are sending out reports of how he ruined production of that movie.
The director?
Yeah. Including just running up costs by messing up his hotel rooms. People were running stories of how apparently the studio execs over at Fox got frightened when they said, and quote, there wasn't enough action in that movie. And we have seen that movie, Douglas and I. And when you watch the end of that movie, you're like, I don't think Josh Trank ever wanted there to be a finale action scene in this movie.
Yeah, that was honestly, and the thing about it is, and maybe he probably has a point, and he's probably just being childish about whatever was going on. But that movie, let's take out the last 15 to 20 minutes. That movie was kind of great.
Oh, but so it was director's cut.
There's a director's cut somewhere.
Yeah, there absolutely is. But here's the thing, right? That movie is 100% not an action.
Right.
It's very focused on how they became the Fantastic Four. And you know
it freaked them the fuck out.
Exactly. And that's great. And then, you know, it could have been probably a little bit longer and then gotten more action-y and maybe worked.
I don't want the action.
But then I don't know if I want it or I don't want it. Think about it this way. I know I like it more than you, but do you like The Warrior. With Tom Brady and
Tom Hardy.
And Joel Mike Edgerton.
Deflate Gate.
That movie is
the NFL commissioner.
So that movie is definitely a movie of two parts. Yeah. The first part is the more serious acting stuff. And the second part is the holy shit, look at him fight each other.
They're actually fighting. Right?
And so this movie could have been that.
They fight
if it worked well. And the problem that this movie had was after they developed this like really great movie about the origin of the of who they are.
There's just explosions after that.
Not even really explosions. It's just like the director said, well, fuck, you asked me for a villain and a fight, I guess. And there's like a 10-minute fight that is
10 minutes
worthless.
It's like three. It's like one minute.
It's useless.
They're floating. They're like, oh, fight. Okay, so, float out.
Yeah.
So then I don't even have to edit that much of the movie. It's just a shitty ending.
Yeah. No, pretty much.
I'm actually excited now.
But outside of that, I thought it was a really good movie. A strong movie.
Then why is he and people bitching about the movie?
Yeah, I don't know why people... Well, I haven't really... I don't go on the internet to read what people think really.
Like, this came out of the... Like, it wasn't but like me scoring slash him because those days are old. It was just some update, some combo news update thing that I listened to. And they're like, director of Fantastic Four says, fuck this movie. Critics agree, you know? What's happening? That's pretty crazy. All right.
And I hope I haven't oversold this for you now, because this is my movie.
No, but you guys didn't pitch me an action movie. Yeah. So there's no, like, if you guys are coming and going, holy shit, this movie. And I was like, all right. And then got there and said, you motherfuckers. Right? And none of the trailers sold me a big bombastic action movie. Unlike, say, a movie with a girl and a bow.
You never meant like to let that go, are you?
No, because fuck this shit, man. That movie isn't that. I don't even know where they cut that trailer from. It's from a different movie.
Damon, you have to let things go sometimes. You have to just move past it.
I've watched Frozen enough. I disagree with all their statements. I'm not letting shit go. They hang on and be bitter and cold forever.
But hold on, doesn't that movie tell you to let it go?
Yes, I refuse to listen to them. I think they're wrong.
Hold on, let me get it straight. You said you watched it enough times. Yeah,
to know that they're wrong.
So hold on. So why did you watch it in more than one times if you disagreed with it?
It's a pretty good movie.
So the top story on Box Office Mojo is Fantastic Four Falls Apart.
So you don't been fucked?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Apparently it made $11 million.
Woo! That is not okay. Yeah. That is not okay.
Only $3 million more than MI. When baby
you know, my will hit 100. It will not do the 600 I need.
But they've never done that.
Thank you, Andrew.
Didn't know that.
You know what else? I'd never done 600 million. Jurassic World. Jurassic. If you combine all three of those movies, it would get you to 600 million. And it yells and it screams in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality. Wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I got you, I mean, under my skin. Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom, where the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it leaves again.